The NFL is a huge change this year. For the first time ever, pass interference is going to be reviewable. I think it's going to be a huge change, and not a lot of people are talking about it. Cecil, you played receiver in the NFL. What do you think about this change?
I'm not a big fan of it just because, similar to offensive linemen and defensive linemen, you can always call holding on any play.
Yeah.
On any play. With pass interference, you can call the hold. You can call pass interference on any play, whether it's offense or defense. It's a physical game, and it's a way of, especially for bigger receivers. So I look at Hopkins, right, who's a physical guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he's really physical. Guys like him, guys like Mike Evans, guys like Julio Jones, bigger receivers, or even crafty receivers that use their body to get open. If a guy thinks it's pass interference, they can call it any. So now if I get open, and I might do a little push-off with my elbow or a push-off with my hand or whatever the case may be. Normally, that wouldn't be called. Whose judgment is now to call the pass interference? So, say Sean Payton challenges something. Boom.
Yep.
Now, they're going to review pass interference and not have to go back to the exact rule and look at the exact rule and see, okay, did he, you know, hinder this person's from this person from catching the ball? And that's just too technical for me. It's just too much. And as a receiver, you never want to see that. You never want somebody to take away a play from you or to be hurt in the game. I want people to get the call right. But this is just too much for me. It's just too much. And I think it'll take away some of the bigger plays in the game, which I don't want to see.
Is there a solution to this? Based on what happened in the NFC title game, where I felt like the wrong team won the game. I mean, I have no dog in the fight between the Saints and the Rams. But I was convinced the wrong team won the game. Is there a solution to what we saw in that game?
Well, in that game, personally, you know, I think the right team won. Because you decided to pass the ball two or three times in that situation. Now, that's your fault.
That's true.
Like that's all the Saints on their play calling.
But
like,
it was still pass interference.
It was still pass interference. Absolutely.
That's the thing.
Absolutely.
It was
still
pass interference. The way they handled it was awful.
And then they ended up kicking the field goal, right?
Yes.
Rams get the ball back.
Except they had time.
And they had time, and the Saints didn't stop them.
Yes.
Like, so whose fault is that? You still had a chance to win.
The referee's fault.
You still had a chance to go out there and go to the Super Bowl. Like,
but,
so to me, yes, that call was wrong. It could have changed a lot of things. I mean, it was a blatant pass interference, if you ask me. It was blatant. It was no doubt about it, and they missed it. But maybe within the last 2 minutes, you have the rule where you can challenge a pass interference. But within the other minutes of the game, I'm just not a big fan of that.
So you mentioned that. The way it's going to work, if people are just joining us, and I'm not talking about even like right this second. I mean, like, over the course of the whole offseason, if you're new to this rule. So pass interference will be replay reviewable this year in the NFL. Within the last 2 minutes, it's not going to be the coach. It's going to be from the replay official.
Right.
So
right.
Kind of like everything else. And here's my take on this. This is going to be a very big deal. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I have no idea because it depends on the game and it depends on what team you root for. Because when you look, I'm going to give you two examples here. So one is in the Super Bowl. Remember when Stephon Gilmore had that pick of, I think it was Gilmore, had the pick of Jared Goff late in the game?
Yes.
Late in the game?
Yes.
The play before, there was an incomplete pass that Jared Goff threw. I don't forget it was Brandon Cooks who he was targeting or not. But that play, based on this review, would have been pass interference. Mm. So, like, the play before the play that basically sealed the Super Bowl would have been defensive pass interference, and the Rams would have had the football first and 10 deep in Patriots territory.
Mm.
That would have been called. Another play, which the NFL a few weeks ago said would have been overturned. I don't know if you remember the Thursday night Chargers-Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah, the exciting game.
Yeah, the second game when the Chargers came back and won.
Right. Went on 2-point conversion, right?
The 2-point conversion. They said that, I think, the touchdown pass to Mike Williams, that would have been replay reviewed, and they would have called offensive pass interference on Mike Williams, and it would have been fourth and goal again for the LA Chargers. This is going to be a very, very, very big deal this year.
The good thing is there's still only two challenges for each team, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change.
That will not change.
And the thing about the rule is you can challenge something that is not called. Is that correct? So if they didn't call pass interference, correct. You think it is, you can challenge that.
And that's also a big deal.
That's, oh, man, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. And I'm not sure how it's going to go over with everybody. Well, this can change games depending on when and where this happens.
I don't know if you felt this way when you played, especially the position that you played receiver. Mm-hmm. But I think there are times, especially when, like, I think we all do this when you're watching a game and it's basically over. A team might be like down by 10 or 8 or whatever, and they're driving, and it's like real late in the game, and there might be some, you know, kind of pass interference, but you kind of let it go
yeah.
because you kind of know what the deal is. Well, now that's going to change.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden, those plays will be called pass interference, and it's a punitive penalty because it's the spot of the foul. It's not just 15 yards. So it's going to make a really, it's going to make a big difference. And your point, Cecil, about the fact that they can challenge the plays that are not called pass interference as opposed to just the ones that are called is also a really big deal. It's going to have a huge impact on the wins and losses this year.
So what about Hail Marys? So say at the end of a game,
yes.
you throw a Hail Mary, and if you ever watch a Hail Mary, it's pushing and shoving the whole entire time. The whole entire time. So if a Hail Mary is the end of the game, although I know that's within the last 2 minutes, so that would be an official review, right?
Yep.
Would they have to call pass interference on that?
What they have said about that question is, for them to call pass interference on a Hail Mary, that it would have to be like a higher level of pass interference. It would have to be like really
a higher level.
That's what they have said. I am not making this up. Yes.
That's interesting to me, because if you watch closely, guys are grabbing hands, they're grabbing
it's pass
arms,
interference all the time.
Pass interference the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be.
But think about that.
If it's a spot of the foul, right? Say you call on defense and it's a
spot of the foul, goal line.
Now you're on the goal line.
Yes.
One play to go.
So they have said when it comes to the Hail Mary pass interference that it's going to need to be like essentially egregious.
Okay.
That it would need to be egregious pass interference for them to, on replay, actually make that call.
So they will review it, though.
They can review it. It sounds to me, Cecil, like they're going to try to avoid that as much as they reasonably can. But again, we have opened Pandora's box here.
Yes,
almost literally we have opened Pandora's box here with the NFL and pass interference. And again, I can't predict how it's going to affect the Texans, but could there be plays where DeAndre Hopkins makes a catch where they go back and they call offensive pass interference? Yeah, I could see that kind of thing happen. A guy like Hopkins.
And one thing that the refs do every year, they come to, especially during training camp right before the season starts, they come around, they show videos of what's pass interference and what's not, what's holding, what's not, what's this rule, what's not, what's leading with your head, what's not, what's roughing the passer and what's not. So the refs come in and they show you video and they have a conversation with the players and coaches like, this is what we're looking for. So it'll be clear. I wouldn't say clear because we didn't know what a catch was for a long time.
Yes.
But it will be explained what is pass interference and what's not. What a receiver can do and what he can't do. What a defensive back can do and what he can't do. So I think it will be clear going into the season. But still, the calls, depending on the situations and the moments, it can be real sticky.
The replays themselves will be very interesting. I want to get your take on this. Cecil Shorts in for Seth Payne on a Thursday. Something I've been thinking about for a few days. Let's say LeBron James did exactly what Kawhi Leonard did with Paul George. Wouldn't people be spending most of this week crushing LeBron? Think about this.
If he called Paul George
and he extracted him and he stole him away from Oklahoma City. Wouldn't people be crushing LeBron for doing exactly what Kawhi did with
Paul
George?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He gets the most criticism for whatever he does. So yeah, he will get I'm pretty sure he did though with Anthony Davis.
he did. But here's the difference. Unlike Paul George this year, there was a sense with Anthony Davis that he was going to be available at some point soon. Because everybody knew like his contract was going to be up a year from now. So
nobody knew about Paul.
Nobody knew about Paul George. It came out of nowhere. Like, Kawhi Leonard called up Kevin Durant. He said no. Kawhi Leonard called up Jimmy Butler to go to the Clippers, and he said no. And Kawhi Leonard basically found himself on another team, a guy to play with, mm-hmm. a co-star who nobody felt was actually available in Paul George. And I think if LeBron had done this, I think the talking heads would be, not like I'm not one, the talking heads would be spending the entire week talking about how LeBron is evil and he has stolen away a player. But because it's Kawhi,
yeah.
Because it's Kawhi and people either don't care about criticizing Kawhi or they like him, it has not flown under the radar, but he's not getting any criticism for it whatsoever.
I think it is, you're hitting the nail on the head. I think it's because of this Kawhi and who he is. And he hasn't become the villain yet.
Because he says nothing, and I don't think he will be the villain.
So if you look at Steph Curry or LeBron, those guys have been good for so long, they have become the villain, right?
Yes.
So anything LeBron does will be criticized. Anything that he says will be, criticized, any and everything. Whether you agree with it or not, whether he did something wrong or not, right? Kawhi hasn't got to that stature yet. He's on his way if he continues to win like this. But to be honest, he doesn't even say anything in the media. Like, he doesn't say anything. So even if you do say something, he's not gonna get a reaction from you. He just might have a little laugh, and that would be it. Like, so yeah, I definitely agree. If it was LeBron, he would get murdered for this. He would get killed for this. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's doing it. He's definitely not one of the best, simply because he's calling and he's tampering and the whole nine, when the whole NBA tampers.
This whole thing was totally Machiavellian.
So this is yeah, I definitely agree with you on this one.
I mean, I've been thinking about that for a few days. And I'm not saying, by the way, that Kawhi is not wrong. I mean, I think Kawhi, he got everything he wanted. He ended up in the city that he wanted to,
yeah,
on the team that he wanted to play on, with a guy who he wanted to play with. Maybe the third choice, fine, but it's still a nice fit, and Paul George had an excellent season this past year. I'm not saying that he did anything wrong. All I'm saying is I think there's a double standard. If it was LeBron this, it would have been Machiavellian, the major talking points all week long.
Absolutely. What if Steph Curry did this? Would he get the same thing?
Not as much as LeBron, but yes, I think it would be a bigger talking point. I think the fact that since Kawhi never says anything, people assume that he like doesn't do this kind of stuff. But yeah, he picked up the phone and he got Paul George out of Oklahoma City.
And that's crazy. Like, nobody's even thinking about Paul George
at all as someone who's
just available. Signed a big deal. Yeah, three more years left on his deal. Nobody even thinking about him. He convinced him to.
Yes, and he got him out. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
We'll have Matt Sakes on the way. The most important college football notes in the state of Texas before fall camp begins in a couple months.